You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Go just about anywhere in the world and say the words Detroit and music, and someone is bound to exclaim Motown. But Detroit's black music history is much deeper and wider than Motown.
I want to be around to pick up the pieces when somebody breaks your heart.
There are some locations around the city that have been forgotten and are very important in the telling of Detroit's black history and music history. Jamon Jordan is with us now. He's president of the Detroit chapter of the Association for the Study of African American Life and History. Jamon, what are we missing when we put all that focus on Motown?
Well, one of the things that we're missing is what led to Motown. Motown didn't come out of the blue. It wasn't an anomaly. It was a continuation of a music business tradition that had been going on in Detroit for decades. And so we're missing a large part of that history when we start at Motown as the beginning of black music history.
And as an historian and educator, I know you've been taking tour groups around the city of Detroit talking about its history. And what was it about that process that made you realize that important things have been forgotten?
That's right. So, yes, as I take my tour groups in, so many of them, when I confront them with this history, they knew nothing about it. They had never heard of it. They all knew Motown. I haven't had a tour group that didn't know that Motown was started in the city of Detroit and who Berry Gordy was and the Temptations and the Supremes. But they knew very little about Paradise Valley. They knew very little about the Flame Show Bar and many of these other important music historic sites that led to the development of Motown Records. So I found that this missing history was highly important, and I had to find some way of making it as public and as well-known as I possibly can. It'll probably never rival Motown's vaunted history, but at some level, everyone should know this history.
Now, you cited Paradise Valley, and we know Detroit had these historic black neighborhoods, Paradise Valley and Black Bottom, and yes, kind of lost and forgotten, haven't they?
Yes, they have been. And there's a lot of historians right now working to make sure that people know more about them. And so you've been hearing a lot of talk about Black Bottom and Paradise Valley. And so I'm one of the group of people who are trying to make those places and those locations more well known. And one thing that should definitely be known about them is the deep music history and the deep music tradition that comes in Detroit through those places.
And there's some sites that you'd like people to really remember. Take us through these sites of music history. I know Sidney Miller High School is one.
Yes. Sidney Miller High School, which sits in the old Black Bottom neighborhood of the city of Detroit, which, of course, wasn't named Black Bottom because of the residents. It was named that because of the soil. However, at some point, it did become a predominantly African-American neighborhood, partially because of housing segregation. But there was segregation going on within the neighborhood at the time. And so Sidney Miller Junior High, or Sidney Miller Intermediate School, was turned into Sidney Miller High School from 1933 to 1957. And this was done by the Detroit Public Schools because they were creating basically a segregated educational system in the Lower East Side of Detroit. Eastern High School became the predominantly white high school, and Sidney Miller Junior High became a high school and became the de facto black high school.
And out of that came a lot of students who went on to become performers and jazz musicians?
That's correct. Kenny Burrell and Brazil Denard. So many great jazz musicians come out of Sidney Miller High School's music program. In fact, arguably, it was the best music program in the city. Maybe Cass Tech was comparable. So between Cass Tech and Sidney Miller, between 1933 and 57, those schools were the best music programs in the city and possibly among the best in the whole country, particularly in jazz music.
And then there's a club, right, that was in Paradise Valley that really brought in a lot of high-level performers.
Yes. So I highlight one of the clubs, which actually existed in three incarnations. Mm. The first time it opens in 1933, it opens as Club Plantation. So that's the original of the clubs. It closes down and reopens as the Club Congo. And legal troubles haunt it, and it closes down again, and it opens its last period from 1946 to 1953 as the Club Sudan.
And boy, there were some big names, right?
Yes, a lot of big names performed there. So, of course, this is the era of big band jazz music. So this is swing era jazz, and that's the pop music of the 1930s and 40s. And so people like Count Basie and Duke Ellington and Cab Calloway, the Sarah Vaughan, Billie Holiday, Dinah Washington, the great major jazz musicians and singers and performers of that day all performed at one of those three clubs, beginning with Club Plantation in the 1930s, and then the later clubs when it reopened as Club Congo and Club Sudan.
And this is where Ford Field is located now?
That's right. So the Club Plantation and Club Sudan and Club Congo, it was one building, all were a part of Paradise Valley. And Paradise Valley is largely in the area that we now call Ford Field. However, those particular clubs were closer to the Comerica Park section of the field, the arena area, than they were the Ford Field. But most of the clubs in the Paradise Valley section, the entertainment district of the 1930s and 1940s in Detroit, which was predominantly black-owned businesses, was in the Ford Field section of the arena area.
And, Jamon, I was stunned. I did not know the history of what we know as Orchestra Hall when we go to see the Detroit Symphony Orchestra, that is part of Paradise Valley history.
That's right. It is. So in the Great Depression occurred in the 1930s, started in 1929, and throughout the 30s, of course, America was in the Great Depression, and many charity groups and groups like the Detroit Symphony Orchestra suffered as a result of the Great Depression. And so the Detroit Symphony Orchestra closed, and there were plans to demolish the building and do some other type of development. And a group of African-American businessmen got together to save the Orchestra Hall, and they renamed it the Paradise Theater. And from 1941 to 1951, the Paradise Theater was a venue that did show films, but there were comedians, music acts, dance groups that performed there. And these African-American businessmen who were able to save the Paradise Theater saved that building, and so that now we have it as part of the Orchestra Hall, and Detroit Symphony Orchestra plays there to this day.
Wow.
That's awesome history.
When you think of the likes of Louis Armstrong and Billie Holiday, again, these huge, huge names. And I know there's other locations, the Flame Show Bar and the Bluebird Inn, and these are all on the tours you take people around. How do people find out about your tours?
They find out about my tours by going to my site. My Facebook site is Black Scroll Network History and Tours. So that's one way that people find out about my tours. And I have postings throughout the city and different historic sites. And so people can get me for their family reunions, their school groups, their organizations, and take tours of these historic sites that focus on different topics. And, of course, one topic that's very important in Detroit's history is this great music history.
And this music really does play a role in just about every aspect of African-American history, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. It plays a part in civil rights. It plays a part in business development. It plays a part in travel and tourism. And people know Detroit even today, largely connecting it with this music history with Motown. And there's a deeper and stronger history that makes Detroit even much more of a music site than we've ever known.
Jamon Jordan, educator, historian, who's the president of the Detroit chapter of the Association for the Study of African American Life and History. You've opened our eyes to some very important parts of Detroit's history. We want to thank you so much for that, Jamon.
All right, thank you, and thank you very much.
Support for arts and culture coverage comes in part from the Michigan Council for Arts and Cultural Affairs.